Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
Oh, g'day everyone. I don't know about you, but every now and again, I have a moment where I'm sort of stopped in my tracks and I'm reminded of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. I was driving here this morning and I was coming through an intersection, and just before I'd got there, there'd been a pretty significant accident, and the police had arrived and the fire brigade were there and the ambulance was there. And I was reminded of towards the end of last year, I had my son Harry in the car and we were going through an intersection, and we had a lady run a red light, and she T-boned us doing about 80k an hour and slammed into the side of my car and hit right where Harry was sitting, and then that slammed us into another car, and it was quite dramatic, and we blocked off quite a significant road, and we got police and the fire brigade, and everyone was there, and it was quite attention-seeking style behaviour on our behalf. But we walked away from that okay. A little shaken, our car was pretty banged up, but we walked away from that, and even now when we drive through that intersection fairly regularly, and every time I notice Harry looking just to make sure a car's not coming through, and we've talked about it and how we're reminded of that moment when we were here as you go through that intersection. But as I was driving today and I looked at that accident and my CSI skills, I put them to use and I figured out they must have, you know, smashed into each other pretty hard, and that wasn't great. And I was just reminded of God's faithfulness to me and to my family. And maybe for you it's like the simple gesture of being reminded of God's faithfulness, of someone just putting a couple of dollars in your hand. And they don't know that you need it, but you know you need it, and they put it in your hand and they simply say, "Hey, I just really felt God prompting me to do this." And you're suddenly struck with God's faithfulness. Or maybe it's your phone beeps and you look down and it's just a text from someone to say, "Hey, I've just got you in my prayers today." Just a simple gesture where you're suddenly struck and you're reminded and you go, "Oh wow, God, you are a faithful, faithful, good God. You're a God who loves me greatly." So I was reflecting on this as I was driving to church after I'd gone past that accident, and I was kind of a little caught up in my own mind thinking about this and thinking about God's faithfulness and His love for us and how much He cares about us and His bigness and His goodness. And I found myself just expressing this heartfelt, genuine thanks to God for His love for me, His love for us, the experience of Him that I've had. And I just found myself going, "Wow, God, You are a good, good God." And it was this genuine, heartfelt expression of thanks to God. And in that moment, I just realized I don't do that enough. I don't stop and express that heartfelt thanks to God. Too often, I'm like one of my kids who yells thanks out over my shoulder as I'm going somewhere else. And I'm only really doing it because I know that I'll get in trouble if I don't. And, you know, manners matter, right? And so you just, it's a token thank you. But what about those moments where you stop? Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a few in my life where I've stopped someone and I've put my hand on their shoulder and I've looked at them and I've looked them in the eye because I need them to understand that this is genuine and this is heartfelt. And I've simply just said, "Thank you." And they know it's not just thank you. There's so much more that's being communicated in that moment. I don't know about you, but I had a moment like that. I think this week I was listening to the podcast from last week, Phil's message from last week, which is an absolute cracker. So if you missed it, can I encourage you to get on the podcast, get on the website, have a listen. Or if you were here, but you missed it, if you know what I mean, like you missed the significance of it. Maybe you were here, but you weren't really here, right? You were present in body, but not in mind, whatever that looks like for you. But if you missed the significance and the revelation from last week, can I encourage you, get on the podcast and have a listen. And because there was something of great significance that Phil spoke about last week when he talked about head and heart revelation and the difference between those things. But I think for me, it reminded me that it is a real blessing for me and for us as a church to sit under Phil and Nat's leadership, people who hear from God so clearly, people who have great vision. And I was just really thankful as I was listening to this podcast that he's my pastor and that we're a part of this church. I don't know about you, I've hung around Phil for way too long now, and it's miraculous that neither of us have killed each other at this point in time, because I'm pretty annoying. But it's been an incredible blessing for me and to my family. And I know that if you've been a part of Compass for a while, you'll know that it's been a blessing to you. And every now and again, Phil's away, and so I get to put my big boy pants on and sit in the captain's chair and steer the ship for just a little while. And every time I do that, I'm really grateful for our board, our department heads, our leaders, our staff, because as a church, we are incredibly blessed. We have some amazing people that God has positioned in the life of our church, some amazing people that sit and govern as a board for our church. We have great pastors and we have great leaders and department heads. And as a church, we're really blessed because you guys are here. You guys are an amazing church. You're great people. You love God. You love each other. We are really blessed, and we talk about this, and I know Phil is blessed and he is glad that you're here, because the reality is that you can't be a shepherd unless you got sheep, right? Otherwise you're just a guy with a beard and a stick. But I think there's a danger that when you are sitting in a space like this, you can take it for granted, and we can get a little bit complacent, and we can maybe forget to sometimes say, God, I am grateful. I thank you for my church. I thank you for my leaders. I thank you for the people that you have placed around me and next to me that walk the journey with me. Because when things are going really good, it's sometimes easy to forget how good they are, right? The football team that I play for hadn't lost a game for 2.5 seasons. Not thanks to me, I just ride the coattails. But we lost a couple of weeks ago. It sucks. I'd forgotten. It's not good. I'm not okay with it. It was 3 weeks ago and I'm still not okay with it. And to be honest, we'd probably got a little bit complacent about the fact that every time we play, we get to go in the rooms and sing the song. We all walked in after the game and no one knew what to do. We couldn't remember what you do when we lose. But can I encourage us to be grateful, to be thankful? I'm excited about what God is doing at Compass at the moment, and to have a space like we did today in worship where we just can sit and express our love of God, and God is clearly loving on us. It's an incredible thing. Sometimes in the life of Compass, we plan a series and we map it out and we look at the calendar and we work out how many weeks we've got, and we work out what we're going to talk about in each of those weeks and how we're going to break down a theme or how we're going to break down a book of the Bible. And sometimes we plan out a series, and other times a series just plans us. And we find ourselves in the middle of a series, and we've kind of done that with this when we've been talking about God's love, and we realize that God has orchestrated something and positioned something, and we just happen to find ourselves in the midst of it. And it's great because God knows what the future holds. Only He does. Jeremiah 29, it talks about where he says, I know the plans that I have for you. Jesus demonstrates this knowledge time and time again. I love the stories where he says to his disciples, hey, just go into the next town and turn right and you'll find a donkey. And when you find the donkey, say to the guy, the master needs it. And the guy will say, okay, and you can bring the donkey back. And the disciples I'm assuming that as it happened again and again, they just learnt to trust in the fact that when God says, go and find a donkey, they'll go and there'll be a donkey. But the first time, right? Can you imagine the first time that they're going and they'll be going, I reckon he's lost his mind yet. What is he? Oh, I don't know. We're going to go. And we get there and there's a donkey there and they go, that's a good coincidence. But then they've got to say to the guy who owns the donkey, hey, mate, you don't know us, but we're going to take your donkey because there's a guy you don't know who needs it. And the guy goes, okay, cool, take it. So Jesus knows what's going on. He knows our future. And I take great comfort as an individual and as a member of our church that God has orchestrated the series that we were in because He is preparing us for the next season in the life of Compass. And we have been talking about God's great love, and I don't know about you, but He's providing a myriad of opportunities for me to not only experience that, but then to let others experience that through what He's doing in me. And that is proving to be interesting and challenging. And we're in this series at the moment, and we kind of gone about it backwards because we started at one end, which is kind of like the finish. And each week we seem to be just stripping it back and paring it back till we get to like the foundational bit, which is probably where you're meant to start, but we didn't because we didn't plan the series. God did. And it's probably a little bit like the Star Wars series. No one really knows where the next one fits in and whether that was the start or the finish or the end or the prequel or the sequel or whatever it is. And it doesn't really matter because it all kind of links in together. We've been exploring how we express God's love. It started off when Preston did our global perspectives, and he talked about sometimes we need to help people get to where they can't go themselves. And since then, we've talked about God's love for us, and then the way that we express our love to him and then to others. And then we've been exploring what it means to love yourself, and loving yourself can really only come when you have revelation of who God is and then how God feels about you. And then we've stripped that back a little bit more, and last week Phil kind of explored the idea of head and heart knowledge. And I want to bring it back one more step from that. And I want to just talk about that moment when you first had heart revelation of God. That moment where you stopped and you were overwhelmed with God's love for you. Because it's pretty easy to forget that moment, right? In the midst of being busy, in the midst of life, in the midst of serving God, and sometimes I think we forget that there was a moment where God overwhelmed us with his love and it turned our life around. Because time passes incredibly quickly. A decade can go by like that. For some of us, many decades have gone past. For others, not so many. No. I saw, we got the chance to go and see the Incredibles movie the other day with the kids. Holly and I had gone and seen that together when we were first married, the first one, and we had no kids. And then we went to see it with the kids, and it's fair to say in that 14 years, a lot has changed in our life. We had kids to take. We have mortgage to pay. We have all this other stuff that has changed. The thing I love about The Incredibles is it's been 14 years since we've seen them, and they are exactly the same. My face, my head, not the same from 14 years ago. I was struck with the fact that I am aging and they are ageless. But it just like that. And when we were trying to figure out, before we knew it was 14 years since the last one had come out, we were trying to figure out how long ago it was. And I would have thought it was probably 8 or 9 years ago. And it was 14, you think, wow, where has time gone? And how many things have just kind of got lost in the midst of time? As I get to think and pray about what God's going to bring to us today, I was really struck with sometimes God, as I'm reading the word, gives me this great moment of revelation. And I'll sit or I'll be standing and I'll go, wow, wow, God, that is pretty, pretty amazing. And I pray and I think, God, I just pray that you would really help me do this justice as I share this word. And then other times I feel a leading and a prompting to look at something. And I stop and I go, God, that's probably a little bit too simple. And that's not going to make me look great. And then God brings this scripture to my attention. In Job 38, Jesus answers Job from the whirlwind. He says, "Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself, because I now have some questions for you, and I want you to answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Do you know what its dimensions are? Do you know how I determined and who did the surveying? What supports its foundation and who laid its cornerstones as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who defined the boundaries of the seas that burst from the womb? And as I clothed the clouds and the thick darkness, where were you? For I locked it behind barrel gates, limiting its shores, and I said, thus far and no more, here your proud ways must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you ever told the daylight to spread to the ends of the earth and bring an end to the night's wickedness? Have you ever explored the springs from where the sea came? Have you walked about and explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know." So I shut up and apologized. And I've been reminded that God's love for us is incredibly great. I am reminded that it is great honor and privilege to hold the Bible in your hand and have revelation about him. Last week, Phil talked about the idea of head and heart revelation. And for all of us who follow Christ, who would say that we're believers, that we're passionate about who Jesus is, there was a moment for you where God revealed himself to you so much that you said, you know what? I'm going to pursue you for the rest of my life. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. Where your heart was so overwhelmed with his love that you said, oh, that's the way for me. And maybe for you, that experience was like Paul as he was on the... Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, where it was this like blinding wow moment where you were just stopped in your tracks and things changed in an instant. Or maybe you were a little bit more like some of the disciples who Jesus said, come follow me, and they came and follow him, not really knowing what they were doing, but they liked the journey, and they kind of went on the journey, and they had all these different experiences of Jesus and who he was and what he could do. And then there's a moment where something happens and they go, oh, wow, surely you are the Son of God. And so whether for you your moment was this like one moment where you went, wow, here it is in an instant, or whether it was a journey to get to where you are. For all of us, we've had this moment, we've had this experience, we've had this time in our life where our heart was overwhelmed by God. And I would say for us, that's that moment where you have heart revelation of who God is. It's even before your head understands it. I've had the opportunity to be chatting with one of the people who comes to our church who's new to their experience of who God is and their relationship of who God is. And I have been reminded as they are just starting to ask questions and they're starting to read the Bible and they're starting to think about who God is. And we're asking questions and we're talking about the theology of things and how things work. But I love the fact that even though this bit, the head knowledge bit, still is figuring out, the heart revelation that they have is so strong and undeniable. For me, there was a moment as a 13-year-old where I was in my parents' church and I was sitting at the back, and I'm always reminded of when I see my son and other boys sitting there mucking around, that was me sitting at the back mucking around. And there was a moment where God overwhelmed my heart, to the point where I couldn't not respond. And I remember as a 13-year-old, I was 13 and one day, and I remember my birthday the day before, and I walked from the back of the church to the front in response to what God was doing in my heart. And I can remember standing there and feeling so overwhelmed by God's love, so in awe of the love that God had for me, and the instant freedom and forgiveness that my heart felt and found. And so whether your story be one of a radical transformation, that you were a drug dealer and a murderer at 12 and God did something massive in your life, and at 13 you became a TV evangelist, or whether you just have been someone who has walked the steady journey of faith, I believe today God would want to bring us back to that first heart revelation. He would want us to remind us of that moment where he overwhelmed your heart for the first time and your heart went, oh my goodness. I think it's a timely reminder for us. I said to our leaders the other day, we had some leadership training, I said, as my life gets more complicated and I'm faced with more complex situations, I'm finding my faith is becoming simpler and simpler. I'm developing a deeper, more meaningful, but simpler relationship with God, where I'm thinking about some of these things less and I understand the theology better, but on a very deep heart level, my trust and my love is somehow becoming deeper and simpler at the same time. And I know you can't live in the spiritual lolly shop all your life. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the fact that we need to move from, as followers of Christ and as people of faith, we need to move from a space where we're spiritually young and we're drinking milk, to where we're moving to somewhere where we're eating food of substance and we're growing in our maturity of faith. But at the same time, Christ is calling us to have a childlike faith, that faith of just love and trust. that moment where you see a little kid who just is swallowed up in their parents' love, and there is absolute trust and absolute love. I can remember the moment where God told me I was going to marry Holly. And Holly and I have known each other forever, since we were 12. And I can remember at 14, we were in a group and walking somewhere, and I could tell you where, we were in Horsham. And I had this prompting in my head and my heart. And I looked over and I thought, I see no logical reason why I wouldn't marry that woman. And that was at 14, I promise you. I knew. And then we sort of kind of got out of contact a bit, and then we were back in contact. And then she was living about 6 hours away, and for a whole myriad of different long situations that you don't really care about, I went to go and do her year 12 formal with her, and I was her last resort and the only person willing to travel 6 hours. But it was okay because I knew, right? I knew. And at the time I said to Phil, mate, there's something there and I just need some clarification from God on whether this relationship, whether this is something I should pursue. And he sort of pointed out it wasn't really a relationship at this time. And so I remember driving and praying and driving and praying, and it was a 6 hour drive and a lot of praying, and pulling up at the front of her parents' house and her getting out. She'd just pulled up just in front of me, and her and a friend got out of their car, and I was sitting in my car, and as I saw her get out, as clear as I've heard God, God said, "That's your wife." And I was quite awestruck as I sat in my Magna that I'd bought off my parents. It was pretty cool. And I sat there in awe of what God had just spoken to me about, and honestly feeling like my heart was just overwhelmed. And Holly stood 7 meters away waving at me. And I stood there, sat in my car, not responding. And she must have thought, oh my goodness, who is this idiot I have asked to come and do my formal? I think he's just had a stroke in there. Little did she know, that was her husband. Because it's fair to say God hadn't told her. But he had told me, and that held me in good stead, because it took a while to convince her that, you know, just because she hadn't heard from God. But that feeling of first love, that feeling of having your heart overwhelmed. We read through the Psalms, and we see David's expressions of his love for God. The way his heart, he talks about your soul longing. You read through Song of Solomon's, and there's some pretty creative expressions of love in there. But there's that real heartfelt, deep love. So when was your moment? When was your moment where God overwhelmed your heart to the point where you responded to him? I think today God would just want to bring us back just to that moment. And I believe that we're going to share in communion. I'm going to ask the host team to hand that out. And we're just going to have a few moments, because I really believe that God today has a great desire to remind you of his great love. That today he would want to overwhelm your heart. He would want to remind you of how powerful and all-consuming his love for you is. Because everything else comes out of that. Our ability to love others, our ability to love him, it comes back to the way that he first loves us. So I'm going to ask the band come. Jesus gathers his disciples together for a meal, and in the midst of the meal he stops them and he begins to talk to them about the things that are to come. And he says to them, hey, I just want to give you this tool, this strategy, this resource, this structure, this ongoing opportunity to remember what's about to happen, which is the ultimate expression of my love for you. And it says in Mark 14, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces. He gave it to the disciples saying, take it, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And they sang a hymn and they went to the Mount of Olives. So today is our chance to stop and reflect. That as we're sharing communion today, I would pray that this morning we would stop and we would be reminded of God's love for us, his faithfulness, his thankfulness. The same way when I drove past that accident this morning and the memory of the experience of being in that accident with Harry was so real to me. You have those things where you might smell something or see something or hear something and you're right in that moment again. That as we share in communion today, we'll be right back in that moment when we first had our heart revelation of God, where God first overwhelmed us. That he would be at work on a deep heart level for you right now. And so we're simply going to sit for just a couple of minutes. And I would pray that you would open up your heart to God. You would allow him to do what it is that he wants to do for you and in you this morning. So as you hold that cup, which reminds us of Jesus' blood that was shed to seal that covenant, his body that was broken, in that bit of biscuit that you have, his body that was broken as payment for our sins. Let us just sit and allow God to love us. Let those things bring us back to that moment, that time, where God revealed himself to your heart, that he would love you today. Simply, deeply, all-consumingly.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.